בוקר טוב לכולם. Good morning, Ori. Good morning, Ori. Mr. Ori Cohen. This is Radio Shalom, and today we are going to have a special program about Yom HaZikaron and about remembrance and about the pain and love and freedom. Therefore, right from Peru, I've got a very special person who is a musician and also a writer who's going to talk to us a bit about his dad and how it's like to live in Israel, how it's like to live in Peru, and how he remember his dad who he lost at Yom Kippur War. So shalom, Ori.
Hello, dear Sigal. Hello, beautiful people of New Zealand.
Hi, Ori. Just before we're going to start, you know, I was just on my way to the car. I was thinking, oh, I've got to say something. I've got to write something, very little. So I just wrote something a bit about freedom. And I actually wrote it in Hebrew. And it's about the days between Pesach and Yom HaZikaron. So I'll just read something for 2 minutes, and then you're gonna tell us a bit about yourself.
אני, I'm listening.
Yeah, אני עבד של פסח, עבד לפחדים וחוסר ודאות, עבד של קורבן, עבד של תפיסת עולם, עבד של צללים, של שתיקות ארוכות, עבד של הלילה, עבד של בדידות, אשמה וכעס, עד שהגיע האור בחג החירות שהזכיר לי את החופש ואת הדרור. החופש עמד שם, בעצם היא עמדה שם, לבושה בשמלה אדומה וקצרה. טלטליה הארוכים התפרעו להם בשובבות על פניהם. היא הזכירה לי פעימה, אהבה, חיים, ואת הרוח שהביאה עמו את החופש לאהוב, לצחוק, למצוא את המתנה שבי, את הכוח שבי, ולתת לעולם. החופש לסלוח לאחרים, אבל במיוחד לי, ולומר, חג החירות הגיע. אני חופשי. חופשי לאהוב את האחת, חופשי מאשמה, חופשי ממתים זיכרונות של מלחמה. חופשי מהחלטות שלא היו בשליטתי. חופשי להיחס בחיים עד נצח, חופשי לזרוק את כל השדים והרוחות מכל המדרגות ולומר, לגעת, לאהוב, תודה ריבונו של עולם, על שאני חי וקיים, ואיך שהחזרת את נשמתי. היום אני חופשי. So this song I actually cherish to all the people that lost their dear ones in Israel. And now we're going to go to your interview. So, Ori, tell us a bit about yourself.
to tell you about myself, I'm living in Peru for the last 7 years. I was born and raised in Israel. I was raised in a community next to the Sea of Galilee. Probably you heard the name of these communities. It's called kibbutz. I was dedicating my life to Israel to support people that need some attention and all kind of help or mental support. I was guiding youth for a few years, and I established a special project for youth in Israel. And after a few years doing that, I was establishing a beautiful band, music band, one of the first or maybe the first band in Israel that choose to do what you might call world music, a fusion between cultures.
What was the name of it?
Irish, Gypsy, Jewish, Spanish, Indian, all kind of cultures that we brought together into our creation. This band became very successful in Israel and abroad. We were representing Israel many, many times. We were sent to perform in other countries representing Israel. And this band published 7 CDs and did soundtracks for international movies, dance companies, and other things. After 15 years, I created a culture center in Israel. And after a few years, I came to Peru. In Peru, I was initiated working with medicinal plants, and this is what I'm doing. And beside of that, I'm writing books for children and for adults, and I'm still composing music, and I'm living in a very lovely, magical local village in the Sacred Valley of Peru.
Well, that sounds like the ideal life for everyone, I think, to live, you know, by nature and to have the freedom to do whatever you want and whatever you like, and that's great.
Really, I don't know other way.
Yes, of course. I know that recently you have published a children book called Nikki Hanekuda, that's right?
And in English, it's called Dorothy the Dot.
Oh, Dorothy the Dot.
In Hebrew, Nikki Hanekuda, and it's become very first bestseller, and now I was signed up to one of the major companies, publishing companies in Israel.
Well, Mazel Tov, Ori. I understand this kind of book does help children who wants to learn Hebrew how to read the whole language, isn't it?
Basically, it's
I didn't read it yet.
Children about the exclamations mark.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that reminds me a bit of music.
All our life is a symphony of life.
Exactly, one big concert. So, Ori, tell us a bit about your dad and what it was like to grow up in the kibbutz and, yeah, your memories.
My dad's name was Raphael, and he was a musician that played oboe, and he was a nature man, an education man. He was a teacher for nature and music. He was a man of peace that educated me to respect every person, every animal and nature. I never heard nothing in my childhood except love to humanity. And doesn't matter if it was Arabs or any other nations or whatever. He was a farmer in his childhood, raised in a village. And he was dedicating his life to peace and educating children by the method of love and respect.
Obviously, it was a big loss for you and for your family when he got killed at Yom Kippur War. What do you remember from these days? How old were you?
Ask me again the question, please.
I understand that your dad got killed in Yom Kippur in the Chinese farm. Is that correct?
Yes.
1973. How old were you back then?
He was 32 and I was 8 and a half.
And what do you remember from this time of life when they told you, you know, you lost your dad? How did you, you know, can you tell us about it?
What I remember from this war?
From the war you won't be able to remember much because you obviously were too young and you were not there. But at this time...
No. I remember every minute of this time.
Okay, tell us about it.
We were in a kibbutz near the Sea of Galilee. As you know, or maybe some of you don't know, the war started in Yom Kippur, which is a sacred day in Israel. Nobody moves, no radio, and no television. And it was a big surprise to everybody. My father was in a commando, serving the Israeli army as a soldier in the commando. He took his stuff very quickly and asked to separate from me very specially. And he went to the war. Basically, who stayed in the kibbutz, in the community, was women and children. And it was kind of very intense, frightening days. We were most of the days deep underground in the shelters. In the evening, we were not allowed to light up any lights in the community. It was total darkness. And then after 2-3 days, the bad news started to reach us all, that this war is very bloody and very terrible. Both countries, Egypt and Syria, were attacking Israel those days. Syria in the north and Egypt in the south. Many killed from all sides. And my father died in a very terrible action, military action of the commando. 36 guys from the commando died in this action, which happened to be in the Suez Canal in Egypt. And since that happened, my life changed. And all my family life had changed as well.
How did it affect you, actually? How did it affect you and your family? In what way?
I think I'm the eldest. I'm the first son in my family. I have two younger sisters. Seeing my mother very in a deep agony. She was 31 when it happened.
That's very young.
And seeing my mother in a deep agony was very confusing for me as a child, because the roles had confused and changed. I felt responsible to her. It was terrible to see her crying all the day and brokenhearted. So I was trying to take care of my youngest sisters and to take care about her. So for young boy, it was like changing roles. Who's taking care about who?
So you kind of became the leader of the family. You took the whole responsibility on your shoulders from a young age, isn't it?
Yeah, in a way, yeah. You look around and you're finding yourself the only man, like in quotation, and you see your family breaking apart. In one way, I felt helpless, and in the other way, I was feeling very strong responsibility.
Did you ever felt, did you feel any kind of anger? You know, most people, when they lose their loved one, they sometimes feel not just sad, but they also can be sometimes angry. You know, why did it happen to me? Why my father had to go? You know, how come it happened to me?
You know, it's interesting, because my mom just told me yesterday that right away after my father died, I was painting few paintings, and in one of them, there was a Israeli tank with flowers how you say in this cannonball?
Yes, yes.
This cannonball, a cane של הטנק?
Yes, I understand that one, yeah.
So there was flowers inside, and Israeli soldiers shook hands with Arabian soldier, and in the other painting, it was like a circle dancing, one Israeli, one Arab, one Israeli, one Arab, and my mother sent those paintings to national journal called Dvar LeYeladim. And I won the first prize in a competition.
That's amazing.
And it was quite shocking for my mother to see that I'm choosing the heritage of calling for peace.
That's great, and it's quite a lot from a little young child to do it, you know, because, most people will respond with anger, like, why did it happen to me? Why did he have to leave? Actually, there is war.
I felt right away that I'm not exclusive in this loss.
Yes, there are many.
So many father died. So many young people died. I looked around. Every 2 days there was a funeral and families broke apart. And I felt that many children lost their father and not only me. So
yes.
I was just looking around, feeling very sad and feeling the hurt of many people.
Did you get any support at your community or at school?
Did I get what?
Any support at school or, you know, within your community?
No. People were mainly busy trying to survive this trauma.
Yes.
And my healing was my freedom, to be a lot in the nature, to be a lot with other kids, and to do whatever. I was kind of wild boy, so I had the chance to do whatever I felt, and I was calling my friends from the community to make a cemetery for animals. So we were looking for dead animals to bury them with respect, to do a funeral for animals. So it was all kind of stuff that, looking back, brought me the healing I was asking, but it's taken years, really, many years, to deal with the deep sorrow, the grief, and to deal with it and to heal it.
Yes, exactly. And unfortunately, in Israel, we have many children who need to deal with this loss. Sometimes it's also from the other side of the fence that need to deal with loss as well. And I feel sorry, and I always send love to all the ones who lost their dear ones, wherever they are. It doesn't matter what religion or what kind of race. In our situation, we're talking about our nation, Israel, which unfortunately going through too many wars and too much of a loss, really, of life. So
it's all about very bad politicians, the leaders, that's not really seeking for peace.
Yeah, but you know, the real peace is signed actually between people, between nations, not really by politicians, because, you know, we can sign a contract, but if the people themselves do not have the awareness to go and make peace with each other, then it's not going to succeed, you know? And I would see our role in the media or as artists to write things and compose music and write words and do things that will promote healing from both sides and will spread a positive awareness of freedom and love and not of hate or any kind of politics.
I see all this as a self-responsibility, and I was visiting hundreds of times in Palestine, and I was sitting hundreds of times with local Palestinians, and I brought them blankets and toys for children and clothes to wear and shoes, and I was not bringing any politics to these meetings, kind of meetings. Just respect and hope. And I felt that the simple people, what you might call, seeking for peace, the same as I do.
Of course they do, but you know what the problem, Ori? The problem is that, you know, the majority, I do believe that the majority want peace. Most people want peace. Everyone wants to survive. Nobody wants to lose his child. But if the majority will sit quiet and be passive and will let the minority, which is the extreme one, to go and control their life, then nothing is going to be changed, you know? Nothing is going to change.
I don't know, you know, because many bloody wars ended, like in Croatia and Serbia and civil war in Spain. Somehow they found solutions, and somehow the war ended. So this somehow might reach the consciousness of the Israeli people and the Palestinians together, because you do a peace contract not with your friends, you do with what you might call enemies. But probably it might reach to a point that everybody had enough from buried their fathers or their children.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I always hope for peace everywhere around the world, and especially with our neighbors, the Arabs. And it's quite funny because if we look at our customs and our religion, I do believe we actually have a lot of similarities. And who knows, maybe they're even part of us. You know, we have this myth about it. 12 tribes of Israel and the 10 tribes who got lost. And I'm constantly thinking, what are we looking for them somewhere else so far away? Maybe they are the ones who are just actually next door or next to us. Maybe they are our brothers and sisters.
Maybe after thousands of years of believing religious stuff, it's time to establish a new religion called humanity.
Yes, and to remember that we all one, you know, we all come from the same source, we all one. And I have to admit that through, you know, my childhood, I have to say that through my childhood in Israel, I've always been exposed to the awareness of love and peace, even though it was war. So I'll give you an example. While I was sitting in the shelters in the north of the country, which is next to Kiryat Shmona, because we had too many, you know, scud rockets, you know, in our village, and there were, you know, people did lost their life, and we as children, we couldn't go to school. But I do remember that every time we came back to school, we always had decisions with our teachers, and we draw the flowers, and we were looking for love, and you know, dreaming about peace, that one day is going to be peace. And we wrote songs for peace. And I quite often wonder, Isn't it about time that in the other side, in the Palestinian side, there will be such kind of awareness where people through the whole education system in their school will do the same thing? And once they will love their children, once they will teach about love and not hate, it will be a lot easier for us to live with one another. There's no woman or a mother that I do know that wants her son to go there. I don't think, even though we might disagree with, you know, with our political opinion, I think, you know, if you look at all the Israeli range of different kind of political opinions, left wing, right wing, it doesn't matter. We don't want to lose life. And by the end of the day, we want them to live, and we want them to live well. And this is what I'm saying. This is the part where an extreme minority terrorize the Palestinian community in Gaza Strip, and actually terrorize not just us, the Israelis, but also the community over there. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe one day will be about the time that they will take responsibility to their hands and say enough is enough to their own leader. And it's about time to make peace. It's not easy. It's not easy. You need to be brave.
Palestinian refugee camps. You don't want to know really in what condition people live. And we and the United Nations have to support this purity and this terrible situation. And we must help these people.
Of course.
In a way to live a respectful life.
Of course we do.
If they have nothing to lose, they will go to terror again and again.
Of course, I believe that. And I do believe that also Israel and a lot of organizations do go to help them. But, you know, the problem is, this is what I'm always saying, when you have an extreme minority within the Palestinian territory who live, you know, quite a well-off life and have a luxury neighborhood and have a lot of money in their hands, and they prefer to create war and not peace, these people will always stay there in poverty because this is the image they want to portray. And they are not interested in improving their condition, unfortunately. So that's what I'm saying. We can't, you know, we can't put a blame into one thing or another. There need to be a will for peace from both sides.
To create any kind of trust will take years.
Absolutely.
To create a dialogue will take years. Somebody have to choose to start it, okay? I think that the one that can choose to start it is the one that controlling the situation.
Yeah, well, on that one, I think you might have different kind of opinions, because by the end of the day, both leadership controlling this situation. And in this way, I'm sorry, Ori, I'll have to finish the program and try to put a little bit of music from the link that you have sent us to cherish your father. Thank you very much, Ori, for being with us. And goodbye to our listeners.
Thank you, dear people that was listening to this conversation. And I wish all around the world peace will conquer. Peace and love will conquer.
Shalom, Ori, and thank you for your speech today. And I would like to cherish this song for Rafael Cohen, your father, but also to all the other children who lost their parents in the horrible war, and to all the mothers who lost their sons in the war, and to all the friends who lost their best friends in the world. So this song is for everyone in Israel and in all the rest of the world.